Paul. He is a popular preacher and author and teacher, and he has written many books. And in one of his books, he has a segment titled, Don't Garble the Message. And the reading goes like this. He recounts the story of a colonel who issued this directive to his executive officer. Tomorrow evening, approximately 2,000 hours, Halley's Comet will be visible in this area, an event which only occurs every 75 years. Have the men fall out in the battalion area in fatigues, and I will explain this rare phenomenon to them. In case of rain, we will not be able to see anything, so assemble the men in the theater, and I will show them films of it. The order then goes from the executive officer to the company commander. By the order of the colonel, tomorrow at 2,000 hours, Halley's Comet will appear above the battalion area. If it rains, fall the men out in fatigues, then march to the theater, where the rare phenomenon will take place, something which occurs only once every 75 years. Company commander to the lieutenant. By order of the colonel in fatigues, at 2,000 hours tomorrow evening, the phenomenal Halley's Comet will appear in the theater. In case of rain in the battalion area, the colonel will give another order, something which occurs once every 75 years. Then the lieutenant to the sergeant. Tomorrow at 2,000 hours, the colonel in fatigues will appear in the theater with Halley's Comet, something which happens every 75 years. If it rains, the colonel will order the comet into the battalion area. Sergeant to squad. This is the last one. When it rains tomorrow at 2,000 hours, the phenomenal 75-year-old General Halley, accompanied by the colonel, will drive his comet through the battalion area theater in fatigues. Squad members to each other. Huh? It's easy to garble the Easter message. The Easter message is a simple one. Christ is risen. God's been good. But how many times have people garbled that simple message? Thomas did it when his doubt overcame him and he insisted on looking for physical evidence. Nail holes in his hands. Pierce wounds in Jesus' sides. The men in Emmaus almost garbled the message when their expectations of who they thought Jesus needed to be almost overshadowed the presence of Christ with them. People tend to miss the Easter message because it seems too simple to believe, or because our human faculties don't let us catch the message and let it ring clear in our minds. It's a very simple message. God's been good. The psalmist echoes that theme for us this morning in Psalm 116. You heard it earlier this morning. It's a prayer of thanksgiving for God's abundant blessings and all of the wonderful things that God has done for the psalmist. He had saved this psalmist from imminent death, from much suffering. He had faced a period of suffering and trauma, and God granted him new life. Just hear those first four verses of the psalm again. I love the Lord because he has heard my voice and my supplications. Because he inclined his ear to me, therefore I will call on him as long as I live. Gracious is the Lord and righteous. Our God is merciful. The Lord protects the simple. When I was brought low, he saved me. In a sense, the psalmist is giving us his testimony this morning, sharing with us here at Bethel Church his life experience, how good God has been for him, snatching new life from the jaws of certain death. It is the simple message recorded in this psalm that we have heard, that God is so good. You ever sing that song as a child? I remember growing up in my classroom and having the teacher teach us that beautiful, simple song, God is so good. God is so good. God is so good, He's so good to me. The next verse is, He answers prayer. And then the final verse is, He died for me. Simple song to learn and sing as a child, but for some reason, I stopped singing that song. I don't know why. Many of us haven't sung it recently. Maybe it's not because we've stopped singing it literally. Maybe we've stopped singing it spiritually. See, as children, our worlds were a lot simpler, weren't they? It was easy to believe that God was so good because our problems weren't as numerous. Suffering was much less. But as we've grown older, we've stopped singing that song spiritually with the problems that we've faced, with the chaos in our lives. Some of us have even asked that question that is a popular question today. Why do bad things happen to good people? Where is God when we face our hardships, our broken trust, our poor health, our bad times? It's tough in these times to sing that simple song, God is so good. In fact, I suspect that some of us today have a hard time hearing and believing any words of hope or joy this morning. Maybe for some of us, life has been tough. It has dealt us a cruel hand. Maybe you're struggling, and the last thing that you need to hear this morning are words from someone like the psalmist who has it good. It may make you feel like you don't have enough faith. It may fill you with guilt. It may lead you to anger. And I suspect that even though we are an Easter people, there are some of us still stuck on Good Friday. So I kind of suspect that there are two groups of people sitting in these pews this morning. The first group are those people who seem to have things going all right. There are reasons to rejoice. Life has been good. Maybe there have been events in the past week that have given you great joy. Or maybe even you're feeling some contentment and some peace. And if that's the boat that you're in this morning, you have been truly blessed. And I give to you Psalm 116 as an affirmation of your experience, as a reminder to thank God for all the blessings in your life, for God's abundant grace, and to hear the challenge in the final verses of this psalm. Verses 12 to 17, when the psalmist says, "What shall I return to the Lord for all of His bounty to me? I will lift up the cup of salvation and call on the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows to the Lord in the presence of all His people. I will offer to you a thanksgiving sacrifice and call on the name of the Lord." The word for you this morning, if you are contented and feeling peace, is to be thankful to God. But more than that, give testimony to others of God's goodness, and focus less on your good fortune and focus more on God's character and God's good nature, and let that be the words of your testimony to others. And give yourself over as a thanksgiving sacrifice for God to use. Then there are others of you who are in a different boat altogether. You are the ones this morning who carry burdens, great burdens, for yourselves and for others. Your heart is heavy. Your physical situation is difficult. Your hopes have been dashed. Your relationships have been broken. Your trust is gone. Maybe this morning you have a hard time hearing a good word from anyone. And the last thing you need to hear is some kind of emotional manipulation. Last thing you need to hear is someone trying to contrive you to feel good when really you just want to grieve. You don't need to be lied to. You don't need to be told your life is good when in reality it's not. And you certainly don't need a guilt trip, feeling like you don't have enough faith. If any of that rings true for you, then I think Psalm 116 also has a saving word for you this morning. Take a look at the first four verses of that psalm, where the psalmist says, "I love the Lord because He has heard my voice and my supplication. Because He has inclined His ear to me, therefore I will call on Him as long as I live. The snares of death encompassed me. The pangs of Sheol laid hold on me. I suffered distress and anguish. Then I called on the name of the Lord. O Lord, I pray, save my life. Notice something with me. The psalmist doesn't say, I love the Lord because my problems are gone. And the psalmist doesn't say, I love the Lord because my life is better. Or that God has taken all of my sorrow away. If you look carefully at these verses, the reason the psalmist says that God's been good is because he has heard my voice and my supplications. Because he has inclined his ear to me. Because I called on the name of the Lord to save my life. There is no false hope in this verse. The psalmist is not promising you a bright future right away. It doesn't guarantee an imminent end to your sorrow or your suffering. But it does say that you need to be grateful. It does say that you need to be thankful. Why? Because God is near. Because God has never left you. Because God is still within earshot of your voice. The psalmist rejoices that because through all of his suffering, God has been good because God has been present. And this is a promise that you must claim for yourself. Hear this, the story of Alan Gardner. Alan Gardner was a faithful missionary of the gospel to a remote place in South America back in the mid-19th century. And because he was a missionary, he suffered many physical difficulties and many hardships with his work. And despite all of his troubles, he said, while God gives me strength, failure will not daunt me. Until 1851, when at the age of 57, he died of a disease and starvation while serving on Pitcairn Island in South America. And when his body was found, some folks found a diary next to him, and they opened up that diary and read the entries from the last few days of his life. And in it there were words of the hunger that he faced, the thirst, the wounds, the loneliness that he was facing up until his very last moment. But the last entry in that little diary before he died was written in shaky script, because his hand was quivering as it struggled to write his very last words, which were, I am overwhelmed with a sense of the goodness of God. How could a man in his condition, facing his last few moments, truly, truly believe in a good God? Because he believed that God was with him. Because he believed that when he cried out, God was hearing him. And he believed that whatever happened, God would never leave his side. And that to him was overwhelming, to use his own word. Overwhelming emotion, which must have led this same psalmist to write the very same words. God's been good to me. Through my suffering, through my imminent death, God has been good to me. That's the Easter message in a nutshell. It's not just that Christ is risen, but it's that God's been good, and God is still here. God has not left because that tomb is empty, and God is still present and real, everlasting, and listening to you. Many of you know the story of Corrie ten Boom. She was someone who faced one of the most awful tragedies of our history, the Holocaust. She is a survivor of the Holocaust there in a concentration camp, and I wanted to just share with you her words and let them ring with you and take them with you as we leave this place. Here is what she said. Often I have heard people say, how good God is. We prayed that it would not rain for our church picnic, and now look at the lovely weather. Yes, God is good when he sends good weather. But God was also good when he allowed my sister Betsy to starve to death before my eyes in a German concentration camp. I remember one occasion when I was very discouraged there. Everything around us was dark, and there was darkness in my heart. I remember telling Betsy that I thought that God had forgotten us. No, Corey, said Betsy, he has not forgotten us. Remember his word, for as the heavens are high above the earth, so great is his steadfast love toward those who fear him. Corey concludes, there is an ocean of God's love available. There is plenty for everyone. May God grant you never to doubt that victorious love, whatever the circumstances. May God grant you never to doubt that victorious love, whatever the circumstances. Will you sing with me? God is so good. God is so good. God is so good. He's so good to me. He answers prayer. He answers prayers. He answers prayers. He's so good to me. He died for me. He died for me. He died for me. He's so good to me. May that be your song. In the name of the Creator, the Redeemer, and the Sustainer of us all. Amen.